God is so good.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, all the time. Well, Happy New Year. Great 2014. Amen. Hallelujah. Mr. Doug, if you'd crank me up a little bit, I'm going to introduce that. Would you be seated for just a minute? It sure is so absolutely awesome to see everybody here tonight, and what a joy it is to be here ourselves. It's great to see everybody. It's always good to be seen. Thank you, Lord. And thank the Lord. And if I can get past the glory of those socks, we're going to get into some things tonight. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, being out of the will of God is sort of like washing your feet with your socks on. I don't... Woo! I leaned over and told Ms. Ann, I tell you, I feel stouter than snuff tonight. Glory to God. W.E. Garrett. Powder snuff. Like that old farmer said, he said, man, I tell you the truth. If I tell you a chicken dip snuff, you better lift up his wing and look for a can. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I am some stirred up tonight. In fact, I am so happy within myself. I'm going to let Brother Tony stay on the back row if he wants. But that'd be very unusual, because I usually say, what in the world are you doing back there? You got to be up here pulling. Yeah, come on, brother. Glory to God. We got, hey, y'all scoot over here. Give him my seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The price is right. Come on down. The price is right. Woo, what a joy it is to see everybody here. I've got a couple of things that are on my heart to do that I believe are going to set the stage for some things, and I'm excited about it. The Lord has been giving us some very specific instruction. And as such, stepping into the next phase of assignment, you know, you can't go really anywhere in the kingdom in a supernatural way unless you have revelation and light on the path. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, lead me in a plain path, O Lord, because of my enemies. I'm going to say that again, because I'm not sure. We're having a good time here, but the scripture says in the Psalms, the psalmist said, I want to say it's Psalm 27:11, but I'm close, if that's not the exact reference, but he says, lead me in a plain path, O Lord, because of my enemies.
Right.
See, when your path is plain, your enemy cannot stop you.
That's right. Exactly. Amen.
Because we are wrestling against dark forces.
Yes, we are.
Now, the Bible says, and tells us in the book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us that the path of the just is like a shining light. But the wicked, when they stumble, when they walk in the darkness, they don't know what they stumble over. See, this is the problem with people. When they continue to stumble, it's because they're walking in the darkness, and it's impossible for them to get out, because it takes light to see your way out. And light is revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is the premium in the kingdom. And so the Bible also tells us in John chapter 15, verse 16, he says very clearly there, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Mm-hmm. Not everybody or not anybody can do everything, but everybody can do something.
Amen. Yes.
And to get this great harvest in, it's not going to take any one of us doing more than we're called to do, but it's going to take every one of us doing all we're called to do.
Amen.
And it is absolutely time for us to step up and out and in to the things God has for us to do. And that means there takes an anointing to break through what Isaiah 45 calls those two leaved gates.
Yep.
To access those treasures of darkness. And their darkness is not darkness as in demonic darkness. Darkness means obscurity, hidden, unable to see. So you see, the treasures that belong to us will never possess them until we see how to get into them.
That's right.
It's not the devil keeping us out.
That's right. Right. Amen.
It's a lack of light.
Amen. That's right.
It's a lack of clear understanding about how to step toward whatever's next.
Right.
And let me say it this way. There's two thoughts I want to give you, and then I'm going to kind of jump right into some things. I'll teach here in just a moment, but there's some things I need to do, and I want to make this preface, because when I show it to you, I don't want you to think it's just all about us.
Right.
It's very important to me that you get an understanding, a healthy understanding of spiritual law, so that you can realize God has some specific instruction for you to take that next step.
Yes.
Amen. Glory be to God. And so, you know, the Apostle Peter, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he said, I go a-fishing. Now you realize why he did that. Because he knew there was more to do, but now the leader's gone. And he can't see how to do it, doesn't know exactly what to do. He's not clear about the next phase, so he resorts to the familiar. So many people, when they don't know what to do next, will fall back into what they know. And they keep doing things the same old way, and yet God has the next step for you. I think about the time that they partnered, and he threw that one old rotten net out, and it broke. And thank God they did get a harvest that day, but Peter learned a lot. He learned a lot about dishonoring the very anointing that brought the power to heal his mother-in-law. He learned a lot about that, insomuch that later, after Jesus was resurrected and was eating fish on the shore, he told them to cast on the right, and they would find, and they did. And it says that the net enclosed such a great a multitude of fishes, yet the net broke not. So the next time it didn't break. But it said they couldn't haul it in. Isn't that interesting? You see, a lot of us have apprehended some things spiritually, but we haven't developed on the inside enough to be able to haul it into our lives. So it's so important to know that there are things that belong to us, but we don't have them in our hands yet.
That's right. That's good.
And there's a way to get over into that.
Yes, it is.
Glory be to God. So I want to say to you that there is, with all my heart, and I finally am at the place where I understand the necessity to utter some things. Yeah, I'll do that, Lord. I will do that. I want to say something to you here. This is, once again, don't hold this against my preaching time. All right. Glory to God. But I want to, how many of you have ever read the verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3? If we could quote it, it would say, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Young's analytical translation says it this way. By faith we understand that the ages to come have been prepared by a saying of God. In regard to the things seen not having come out of things appearing. Now what he's saying here is this. Because when you look up the Greek, the word world there is not the physical planet. It's actually the Greek word eon, or it means ages, ages without end, times or ages. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, actually the best Greek translation is successive ages, were framed by the word of God, which means that when you get the list of the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11, when you get Abel and Enoch and you go down the list, each one of those men and women in their generation received a word from God that shaped their world.
Yes.
They took that word and changed their world around them in their generation by a word from God.
Yeah.
And actually, the best way to say it is they received a saying.
Yes.
Amen.
And when they said the saying, it shaped the age they lived in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, the highest purpose of words, period, is not to be communicative. We have boiled words down to a tool of communication and sharing images and ideas. That's the much lesser purpose of words. Words are introduced to us in Genesis 1 by God. God used words to create. So the highest authority, the highest anointing in the office of prophet, let's say, is not to predict, it's to create. You take Elisha. Under the anointing, God gave him a saying. When he heard what the heaven said, he said the saying. He said, tomorrow about this time.
Right.
And based on that saying, there was a new national economy in 24 hours.
That's right. Absolutely right. Wow, that's good.
Do I need to preach this somewhere else?
No.
I'm wondering here. I mean, I know you're just listening, but I'm just saying. God God found a man. So it seems as if from the scripture, because the Bible says in Amos 3, surely he does nothing in the earth except he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So evidently, to get something done on the earth, he's got to get some human, some man, some woman to speak words.
Amen.
Amen. You're never going to move your mountain with your mouth shut.
Come on.
You're never going to kill your giant with your mouth shut.
Right.
No. He's got, in fact, it seems as if God wants anything done in the earth, he gives some man words.
Yeah. Right.
Words to say. So let me read this to you again. By faith, we understand the ages to come have been prepared by a saying of God. Let me tell you something. Your words go into your future and prepare it before you get there. Your future, the future you're living in now, was prepared by a saying that came out of your mouth yesterday. So if you don't like what you're having, change what you're saying. Because what you're having today is the result of your sayings from yesterday. Oh, glory be to God. So one of the major reasons that God gives us any instruction is not only to act on it, because faith without works is dead, but to say it. So it's got to come out. Now, in this, Pastor Jimmy obviously was stirred up. The anointing came on him when he was receiving the offer about partnership. Now, here's the thing. This church has been our partner for many years. We've been their partner. They've been our partner. Partnership is not about getting something from you. It's about getting something to you. But partnership, more than anything else, is about getting the purposes of God done in the planet.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, basically, I have a grace. You have a grace. I don't have all the grace. You don't have all the grace. But together, we have a grace that's magnified 10 times.
Right.
It's synergy. And you get that going together. Oh, dear Lord. And you start increasing the speed of your seed.
Yeah.
And that was the phrase that the Spirit of God talked to me about. Because I had had a visitation from the Lord some years ago. Coming out of, actually, we went into a new year. And I didn't know it, but I found out in November about Thanksgiving that we were $100,000 down. And I'll never forget that moment. I didn't announce it to anybody. I didn't go to my congregation, nobody, for 6 weeks. Until I could get clear that I could stand before them and tell them the facts without one single thread of pulling on them as the source.
Amen.
Because that church wasn't going to meet that need.
No.
Because the ministry is way larger than our four walls anyway.
Right.
We've been in through 30 nations. We're going around the world with the gospel.
Yep. Yep. Praise God.
We had to get a need met on Mark 11, 23 and 24. So what I needed more than their money was their faith.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's right. So I had to announce. In fact, I refused to receive an offering when I announced it. Because you can feel some folks, $100,000, they just suck the air out of the room.
Yeah.
I had had a visitation from the Lord and revelation about the hundredfold soil of reproducing revelation, and he told me to make some adjustments, and he said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you'll come out of this and never go into it again. Believe the Lord, in 120 days, we were out of that $100,000 deficit.
Amen.
Back in the black.
Amen.
There's revelation in this. Know how to deal with this, and it is more imperative than it's ever been to get this revelation in forms and avenues and voices where people can have it so they can walk in victory.
Amen.
Amen. So before you watch what I'm going to show you, we put a little piece together. Now, this is the earliest, very beginning stage of putting some things together to help our existing partners know what they're a part of. And I thank God for that. But the Lord has given us some specific instruction about where we have to go from here. And I pray that as this goes off inside of your heart, as you see it, we're going to talk about a couple things, but as you see it, here's what I pray. Because it's not about the money. It's more about faith than anything else. Now, God may stir your heart, and only you and the Holy Spirit can decide what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Because here's the bottom line. There's two things that I know for sure. You may not be called to be our partner, but you are absolutely called to be somebody's partner.
Right. Right.
Second thing that I know is you already are a partner with this meeting. So if you're not an ongoing partner, you're a partner with this meeting.
Right. Absolutely.
So you need to call on the benefit of that.
Yeah.
For this service.
Yes.
And the third thing I know is you ought to be, if you're not, you ought to be your pastor's partner first.
Amen.
Because your tithe belongs to the local church.
Right.
And there's a covering and a grace that's there.
That's right.
And that just gets you started on the process.
That's right. Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Woo-hoo.
If you want to see an upturn in your finances, wait at the back door, you know, ever so often on Sundays, and give your pastor a direct Pentecostal handshake.
Oh, glory.
Hey, y'all feel the anointing on that? Yeah. Glory to God. And just so that you know the process, Benjamins feel a whole lot better than Washington's in the hand, too.
Woo-hoo.
You're preaching right, brother. It's the truth. Stay on that a while. Glory to God. Stay right on that a while. Glory to God. So we have received some specific instruction. And so I wanted the opportunity both to, number one, in a place where we have such long-standing relationship. Now, I know that some of you might be here hearing our ministry for the very first time. But of all you ministry gifts, we've had a long enough standing relationship that you know our heart.
Right. Right.
And if you don't know our heart by now, you never will.
Right.
So I can't concern myself, because to the pure, all things are pure.
That's right.
And part of our assignment, because, you know, leaders lead. The first definition of leaders is they get there first.
Right. Exactly. That's right.
So if leaders don't lead, we don't have anywhere to go. I mean, I realize that may be simple, but, you know, like one guy says, if you think you're leading and you're out there walking, you turn around and nobody following you, you're just out for a walk. Don't kid yourself. You're not a leader if there ain't nobody following. You're just out there in the park, walking the park. Glory be to God. You can't get anywhere following a parked car.
That's right. That's right.
You ever tried it?
Yeah.
It's hard to steer a parked car.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Right.
No, you can't get anywhere following a parked pastor either.
No. Amen.
I'll say one more thing about this, just for these pastors' benefit. You need them to dream. You need them to keep coming at you with projects and buildings and dreams and orphanages and everything else that the Spirit of God tells them.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because if that pastor needs $100,000 for that project, that means God's got to get $1 million to the tithers in his church.
That's right.
Amen.
If that pastor needs $1 million for a project, that means God's got to get $10 million into the hands of the tithers of his church.
Right.
You need the pastor to believe God because it puts money in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, we got to get on the upside of this thing. We need to take our seat and begin to live from up here. And I've got something I want to show you about that here in a minute. But before I do, I just want to obey God and follow these instructions that he's given us and show you this clip. And I just hope that it'll be a blessing to you. For those of you that are existing partners, what is happening? It certainly does not include all that's going on around the world and the hundreds, actually even thousands of churches in Europe and Romania and Asia and Pakistan and Hong Kong. We're doing Honduras in 2014. Man, am I so excited about what God's doing around the world. And y'all were there. You don't know this, but this couple, oh, I'm so glad y'all were here. Glory to God. They surprised me. They were there in the meeting. Y'all were there in the meeting when that brother from Namibia, we were praying for him. Well, when I was in the back, we talked, you know, because I was standing there. I saw it. I don't often have this kind of thing, but I mean the curtains went. And I saw us doing meetings and crusades in Namibia with him. So I talked with him in the back, and he is currently, I believe he's currently the vice president of the country. But the elections are coming up. Spirit-filled Christian graduate of Christ for the Nations is going to become the president of Namibia.
Amen.
We, glory.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
And we're going to get over there on his inauguration day.
Amen.
God's doing some awesome things around the world. So I'm very excited about it. So I just want you to see this little clip, and we'll go from there. Praise God. Mr. Doug, and make sure that the audio is good, and because it's going to rip through their soul when they see it. Glory to God.
Tracy, come up here. Amen. Tracy just sold an airplane as seed towards the next step. I set my hands on you in honor and in receiving the seed that you have sown concerning the aircraft that God has placed in you. Now the vision of it will become even more clear. While we're speaking now, it will clear up even more. It's already yours. It's already prepared. It is on its way now. So rejoice and give God thanks, because I'm calling you to the high places of the earth.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise you.
I command your muscles to be strong. This is why we came to Houston, Texas. This is why you're in the meeting tonight, in Jesus' name.
I saw a pain shooting up somebody's right neck, and that was left. It was healed in Jesus' name.
This is Hannah, and she's from Houston, Texas. She said for almost a year she had had jaw pain after a surgery that she had. And last night she got a word from the Lord that she was going to be healed. She said today when Pastor Tracy called that out, that the pain was completely gone and she is healed in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Yes. When you guys called out about the jaw, I received it at that moment, and it is manifested in me, and it's moving, and it's not luck.
I had problems in my jaw. I went through a minor operation where all that was supposed to be done was to fill a cavity. And after that, it left me pain in my mouth. And it's been months now, almost close to a year, that I have felt a clicking and a popping. And it's only on my right side. And when he said it's the right side of the jaw, it was just confirmation that the healing has been manifested in me, because now I can open it. All the way. I can open it, I can move it, and it's this side. It just feels amazing. It feels awesome.
We're moving out of the natural into the supernatural. Past some levels of thinking that we didn't even know were holding us back.
We thought we were thinking large. We weren't thinking large at all. Glory to God. Don't you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if the Lord should certainly stir your heart about that, we do have that at the table, and Jonathan can take care of you. We have, we're believing for those 500 partners, and what we need is your faith that we have those now.
Amen.
Because the bottom line is you don't have to stop there. You know, you could take five slots at 500 a month. That's just up to you. Glory to God. So. But we are going to number them, and we are going to bless you with some things. In fact, tonight we have a, hold that for me, John. We have our newest release that just came off the press just for these meetings.
Amen.
Glory to God. It's called Victory. What would you do if you knew you could not fail?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, what makes this special is it was preached in Mississippi. Glory be to God. And at our next printing of this, I need you to write a forward for me, all right? But we had to get this off the press, so we got it out. And each one of you host pastors and all of the ministers' gifts that are present, I would like to sow one of these into your life. We have, as we said, we have six new releases back there on the table, and we have another half dozen ready to roll. Then some others that are brewing in my spirit. So I'm really excited about that. But this one, in fact, I'm just going to say it. This one is inscribed to Jimmy and Ann. We love you so much. Thank you for your many years of love and friendship and partnership in him, Tracy and Lori. Thank you for hosting this meeting, Pastor. I love you with all my heart.
Love you too. Awesome.
We're walking in victory. In fact, now I'm not taking it back on purpose, but the Lord instructed me to read. We actually put in here a psalm. Anybody know what a psalm is? I'm not talking about a song. It is a song, but it's more of a poem or an ode. When the Spirit of God brings it up, and I've learned that when those come up from time to time under the anointing, he'll first give me the title, and the title will come, and then part of it will come. This was unique in that he gave me about, four, five, six lines, and he said, now when you get in the meeting tonight under the anointing, he said, you read that, and then he said, when you read that, the anointing will come on you, and I'll finish it. So we took that and transcribed it from New Year's Eve, and it's right in the front of this book. And the title of this psalm is Victory. Glory be to God. Here's the title, Victory. Victory in every thought, word, and deed. Yes, victory has come, and over sin's domain, men have been freed. Heaven's champion has fought and finished the war. Victorious in life and even in death, that's what we are. Run at your giant, for you shall surely see. Victorious, bought and paid for, that's what you'll be. For the gifts of the Spirit shall explode in your midst, and unfurled will be my power to give the devil fits. Because the church will ride in the victorious power of my name, and walking in revelation of righteousness, they will never be the same. Walking in the boldness of that revelation will come great and prosperous gain. And the Spirit of the Lord, through my arm of the victorious church, will create for the enemy's kingdom great pain. For the church shall arise, victorious shall she be, for all the weapons of the spiritual gifts will she manifest from me. So expect the nine gifts of the Spirit to come flowing into your life. For prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues shall give your path some light. Yes, even discerning of spirits shall untether the root of what the enemy's been trying to do, and a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge will then come to you. Once the spirit of seeing and knowing unfolds before your face, you will see how to walk down the path of light, and darkness will be powerless, and soon there will be no trace. For you see, the gifts of healings will come from what the enemy has done, and the gift of faith will rise, and you'll no longer be seen as the powerless one. For the working of miracles shall manifest, and in victory and in victorious stride, you shall see that over the top of your enemy you shall surely ride. So mount up to your seat of authority and ride the horse that is granted unto thee, and in victory parade the spoils of a defeated enemy. Yes, in your hand you hold everything that you need. So arise up and understand this is the hour of harvest from every seed. Amen. Glory be to God. Somebody say 2014. The year of excessive victory. Can you give me a little bit more? 2014. The year of excessive victory. Glory be to God. So for any of the Speed the Seed partners, ultimately, and actually if we get your name and address, we'll do this on the tail end because we're going to do this. We've got some really beautiful polo shirts that we're going to have that we're going to sew to those 500 people that sign up. And I don't have them on the table because we've been so busy in the first part of the year, we just haven't gotten the logo back. I actually have a shirt with it on there, so I do know what they look like. And it'll have that hem logo with the jet, and it'll say Speed the Seed. And what's amazing about that is we've actually won several people to the Lord when they'd say, now, what is this? What's that? Yeah, what's all that about? And next thing you know, you're talking to them about Jesus, and it's been a real blessing. And so anybody that signs up as one of those 500 partners, we want to show that to you. And tonight, if you want to do it tonight or throughout these meetings all week long, we brought enough of these books. At least I believe we have. I hope we haven't, actually, but... enough of these books that we will, I want to autograph for those of you that want to sign up for the, we want to sow this into your life. If you sign up as a Speed the Seed partner, I want to autograph that and plant that because I want to be the first sower.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, I realize that you're being stirred by the Spirit of God to help us increase the speed of the seed. I understand that. But this isn't about us getting something. This is about your faith. It's about us believing this in together. So we need your faith that all 500 partners come quickly. So that we have what we need to get this done. Because we're stepping to television next.
Amen.
Doors are opening. We already have experiencehim.tv. We're excited about that. And so, and we're going to broadcast. And the term broadcast, defined, literally means to widely scatter seed.
That's right. That's right.
So that is exactly what we're going to do in Jesus' name. So there, let me give that back to you. Glory be to God. And I got one more thing I want to do because here's what the Lord's saying about victory. We've got to take our seat. Amen?
Right.
We got to take our seat in the things of God. Were you able, brother, to get that graphic where we could put it up?
Yeah,
oh, I like it. See if we can put that graphic up. Now, Brother John Sosby ran across this, and when I saw this yesterday, I couldn't get over it. I just started, glory to God. Now, y'all see that's an F-18. Our military has those jets, and therefore our defense system. Now, what you see on the screen is an actual... communication, an actual transmission that was overheard on an emergency frequency while flying from Europe to Dubai. So this is an actual transmission between one of our F-18 fighter pilots and the controller on the ground. So I want to read to you, just in case it's too small for you to read this transmission, I want to read this to you. This is overheard on the frequency. Iranian air defense site. Unknown aircraft. You are in Iranian airspace. Identify yourself. Aircraft. This is United States aircraft. I am in Iraqi airspace, air defense site. You are in Iranian airspace. If you do not depart our airspace, we will launch interceptor aircraft. Aircraft. This is a United States Marine Corps F-A-18 fighter. Send them up. I'll wait. Air defense site. Yeah. Silence. I'm going to intercept your victory. I'm going to intercept your breakthrough. Send him up. I'll wait.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
That's good. You understand what I'm saying? Take your seat.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
Yeah.
You control the airspace in Jesus' name. Woo! Glory be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you just go on and say it with me? Send him up.
Send him up.
I'll wait.
I'll wait.
Woo! Glory be to God. That do inside of you what that did inside of me. Whew. Proud to be an American. Oh, Oh, glory to God. Would you, now that we've shown this to you, and there'll be different people attending each night, and actually faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. For those of you that are existing partners, understand this. And for those of you pastors that were already hooked and you're ordained with the ministry of affiliation, all that's going on, as much as possible, I don't know all the technology equipment that you might have for us to be able to do this each night. But I believe the Lord's instructed me to show that because there are some people that will come tomorrow night that couldn't be here tonight. And what I really want to get inside of people is the understanding that it's time to go to the next place.
Amen. It is time.
And it doesn't just it left in you tonight when you saw it. But as you continue to see and hear.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
What it'll do is help your faith get started with our faith. That we believe we have already received, by faith, we have already received all 500 of those partners.
That's right.
Over and above the current level of partnership, over and above the current level of, would you agree with us on that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Father, I want to thank you for our existing partners, that you're going to prosper them and help them and bless them. Thank you for this church that's our partner and has been for many years, how you've blessed them, how you've brought their buildings up out of the ground, how they're all debt-free, how you've even spoken to them in the last few times we've been here about their next phase, how that this man and woman are going to go to the nations of the earth. Oh, Father, they will not be limited, not in any way. This pastor and his wife and their family and their children, grandchildren, are going to stand before Jesus and hear, well done. They're going to hit the mark, and I thank you for it. And I thank you for all these pastors that are like that. I pray for them especially right now. What a great year that this is going to be for all of us. We know, Father, that faith, when you believe you receive it, you have it then. Oh, not when you see it. You have it then. Father, as far as I'm concerned, we're not well on our way to that goal. By faith, we have it.
Amen.
By faith, you have already spoken to the heart of every one of those partners that's supposed to connect.
Yes.
And we believe we receive them. And we ask you to bless them beyond their wildest dreams.
Yes.
Bring sudden manifestation to their lives. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I do want you to know, and I really don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's important for us to all realize, when I started believing God, I started believing for socks.
Right.
And I started believing God for jets.
Right.
You see, everybody's got to start where they are. So you may not be in position to do $100 a month. I don't want you to think that that's a limit of some kind. It's not. That is a specific instruction Holy Spirit gave us over and above all other partnership. God will bless you for your obedience on any level.
Yeah. Right.
Whether that's a dollar or a million.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And I just want you to know it's about walking in that grace.
Amen.
Right.
And thank God for it.
Amen.
Whew, man, this anointing is strong.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. 2014. Wow. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Joel, chapter 2?
Yay!
I like that. Let's do that again.
Yay!
It's even better. Glory to God. Tonight, I have some specific instruction from the Lord. Because this flow of meetings, though it will be held throughout the state in different churches and partnership churches and venues, will be or will have almost like a string of pearls to it, if you understand what I'm saying. So this night being the opening night of this set of meetings, now each night there'll be an impartation for whatever body of believers is there. We're all the body of Christ. And certainly for whatever church is represented and is hosting. That's the mind of the Lord. He never has half a will for only one person to be blessed. Amen. But tonight, We're going to establish a foundation for some of the things, some of the miracles that you're going to witness by the presence and the glory of God.
Amen.
As that flow gets established, I want you to open your heart. Because I'm not speaking to you from just a teaching ministry tonight. I'll be ministering throughout these meetings from the office of prophet.
Amen.
And I need you to hear it, because for some of you, it's going to set your course.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And I've been believing God for it. And Jesus is going to manifest himself in it. And the best is yet to come.
Amen.
So, I want you to begin reading with me in Joel chapter 2. And I want to read what might be a familiar verse to you, but I want to read in verse 23. He says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Somebody say the first month.
First month.
Say it again.
First month.
Say it one more time.
First month.
Now, I absolutely understand. I'm not illiterate of understanding that there's more than one calendar, especially when you're talking about the things of God. We have what we call the Gregorian calendar that basically deals with until the time of the Lord Jesus, and then after his advent into the earth. And we measure that calendar based upon our Gentile clock in our Western world. But then, of course, the Jews have their own calendar, and they count from Adam and, you know, beyond. And they actually, their first of the year is not our first of the year. So the Jewish calendar doesn't have New Year's Day on January 1 as we do. So we need to understand that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to understand that one of the reasons he speaks to us so much at the head of the year, or the first of the year, the reason I call it head of the year, is the Jewish name for their new year, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head. Literally, it means head of the year, the beginnings.
Right.
All right? The head is where the anointing comes from. It's where the beginning of the year, the head of the year.
Amen.
Now, that happens typically in the Jewish calendar, some months apart from the January calendar, which is the Gregorian calendar that we operate by. So we need to understand that there's nothing magical or special about December the 31st or January the 1st. We need to get an awareness that God does speak to us clearly and very often in that time frame. But the reason he speaks to us in that time frame is not because it's the end of the year and the start of the year. He speaks to us because that's the time somehow we all set to begin to seek him.
Amen. Right.
If you would seek him on May the 13th, he'd talk to you then. I know. If you would seek him on May the 14th.
Yeah. His is 11.
Wait. May the 14th's mine. Now, y'all just don't get in a hurry. We got some May babies over here.
We do, baby.
If I were to seek him on May the 14th, I believe he'd bless me with gifts then.
Yes. Yes.
If you were to seek him on May the 11th.
Amen.
See, it's not a magical day. It's about he's ready, willing, and able to speak to your heart at any time you come to him. Because he wants to be intimately involved in your affairs. Now, there's an atmosphere of hearing from heaven together around the first of the year, because now you've got groups of people. Not only seeking, but expectant,
right.
Looking,
right.
Listening.
Right.
Some of them fasting.
Yeah.
Well, of course God speaks.
Amen.
He'd do the same thing in February.
Right.
He'd do the same thing right here in this week.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But as we entered the first of the year, because it is the way our society operates, God looks for every opportunity to get blessing to us. So, at the first of every year, he tends to and seems to speak to us.
Amen.
Because he takes advantage of our faith. He takes advantage of our expectancy. He takes advantage of our sensitivity. And so we've come to know and to expect that he's going to begin to talk to us about the year as we seek him. And thank God for it. you do realize he's not only able to talk to you 12 months at a time.
Right. Come on, buddy.
There's something that has just happened, that just happened last week, actually, that the Lord spoke to me very specifically about, wrote it out, prophesied it out, and on New Year's Eve, as we were coming into the year 2012. You know what I'm talking about. You got that prophecy. Yeah. Well, then the Lord talked about that ahead of time. See, that was speaking the end from the beginning. And we might touch on that here in a little bit. But the point is that God's wanting us to take our seat in that higher place. So that we're not just dealing with the affairs of getting our rent paid every month and being able to come and go to church.
Right.
But that the body of Christ steps up and becomes the formidable foe that they are designed and destined to be to the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
Oh, we've got to step into our prophetic destiny.
Right.
And as we do, we've got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Because as we get clear about it, He'll lead us in a plain path because of our enemies.
Yes.
Now, I'm not unaware then that the first month to the Jewish mind in the Old Testament is not January. But yet, we are all aware that when God gives a prophetic utterance, typically it's layered in that it has a natural fulfillment here and then it has another ultimate fulfillment later. So the Word of God unfolds.
Yes.
So when we look at this, the Word of the Lord came to me and He began to talk to me about this being a year of great and excessive victory, particularly in some specific areas I'll talk to you about. But then He said this. He said, and it will begin to happen in the first month.
Praise God.
Amen. Somebody say the first month.
First month.
See, it is time for us not to wait till the end of the year to believe God.
Right.
Not to trudge along and trudge through and think, well, maybe this might come to pass sometime. No, no. We've got to understand that when God speaks it, it's because He wants to do it. And He doesn't want to do it later. He wants to do it now. And He says here, He will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Somebody say the first month.
First month.
Say He's going to cause
some things
to manifest
that I've been believing for.
Right here. In the first month. Glory to God. Can you rejoice now? It's time for your breakthrough. I said, it's time for your breakthrough. Now, I know I'm kind of right on the edge, but let's just make sure I can hear myself, and then I'll try not to drive it. So it is time, absolutely, it is time for our breakthrough. Now, what I want to point out to you, I want to point out to you a couple of things, because it may very well be that we don't go to a lot of Scripture tonight, which is uncustomary when you hear me preach. But I'm on assignment.
Amen.
And I want you to realize here that He's prophetically talking to us about something that's about to happen in the earth. And we're involved in this. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, I don't know if you'll notice, maybe you have a King James Bible, but I have actually a center column reference Bible here. And I am reading out of the King James. And you may notice that the word month at the end of that verse is in italics.
Right.
Well, it means it's not there in the Hebrew.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now, that could be translated several ways. One way it could be translated is, as at the first.
Okay.
So in other words, just like it looked like life was going to be. You remember all those dreams you had when you first got called to ministry? Where nobody came against you, nobody left your church, nobody talked ugly about you, and everybody believed in you, and you didn't have to fight all those devils. Remember that? He says in verse 25, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palm worm, my great army I sent. He says, I'm going to put you back where you would have been had you never had a setback. Like you dreamed it would be when you started out right at the first.
Right. Wow. That's awesome.
Or it could be translated this way, as before.
Oh, praise God.
As it was before. For example, I'm going to restore you just like it was before the event ever happened.
Yeah.
So you're going to come out on the other side of this
yeah.
as if the event never happened. You're going to come out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're not going to have a smell of smoke on your clothes.
Come on.
Nobody's going to be able to tell you went through the fire.
Amen.
Now, I'm probably dating myself, but I was a wee tot when the movie Jaws came out. The first one, you know. I'm not talking about Jaws 15. And the first one, they've got this scene on the boat where, whoever he is. And then Richard Dreyfuss, they're on this boat, and they start talking to each other. It's really quite a funny scene because they start comparing scars. If you've ever seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I got this when I was off the coast, or, you know, from a tiger shark. No, he didn't say it that way, but that's it. So they start comparing experiences. Listen, the body of Christ has been sitting around the table.
Come on, buddy.
That's right.
Comparing scars.
Right.
And it is time for you to quit being the victim and start being the
Amen.
Victor. It is time for you to quit being bitter and start getting better.
Amen.
It is time for you to realize there's an anointing from heaven that's going to come down and put you back to original intent.
Amen.
To recreate and restore you as if it had never happened.
Yes.
Glory be to God. There will be no smell of smoke on your clothes. Your hairs will not be singed. The only thing burning off you, friend, will be the bonds.
Amen.
The limits.
Yeah.
Whatever held you back and whoever did it to you, you'll turn around and say, where are they? They'll be no more. Because the very people that are going to try to throw you into the fire are going to be killed by the fire they're throwing you into.
Woo-hoo!
The mighty men were slain at the mouth of that thing. It was so hot, they didn't have to go in the fire. They died from being near it. They got incinerated from being near it. The mightiest men in the kingdom took them to the entrance and threw them in the fire, and they got slain by the heat.
Right. Come on. Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Woo, that fourth man is in the fire for you tonight.
Yes, he is.
Because the beauty of it is, though they saw four men walking, three of them came out. Four of them didn't come out of there,
right.
Which means Jesus stayed in that fire. They came out, but Jesus stayed in there.
Yes. Come on.
Why did he stay in there? He stayed in there for you and me.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Oh, come on now.
Yes, that's right.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Now, what's really interesting about this is he says in verse 23, I've given you the former rain moderately. And you may have some footnotes in your Bible about what that means. The word former, it's really the King James doesn't translate this exactly as it reads in the Hebrew. In fact, if you have a footnote in your King James Bible, You could look and follow that footnote or center column reference, and it will say, a teacher of righteousness. And the word moderately means basically just measure or according to righteousness. So basically he's saying to us, no matter what is coming against you, I'm going to see to it that revelation knowledge comes to you for you to see what's right to do in the situation, to deal with it, and come out like it never happened.
Praise God.
So rain, understand this, when he's talking about rain coming down out of heaven, in the Word of God, rain can symbolize several things, but primarily the Word of God, rain symbolizes the Word by revelation coming down from heaven. Here he talks about the rain being a teacher of righteousness. For example, let me show you. Go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and look at what he says here in Deuteronomy 32, starting in verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. See that? My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. So we see that rain coming down from heaven. Now Isaiah 55 says basically the same thing. My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but as the snow comes down from heaven and as the rain comes down from heaven, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth.
Right.
See that?
Yeah.
See, rain is heaven releasing a saying into your situation. Oh, glory be to God. There is a saying coming from heaven that when you get His saying on your mouth, it'll shake the situation. The fire will have no effect and you'll come out like it never happened. Oh, glory be to God. God has some plans for you. So what we see is the word moderate can mean according to righteousness, but the best Hebrew translation means just measure or a righteous measurement. Now what we understand is that the Bible tells us that there is, actually Peter's the best way to describe this. In the epistle of Peter, he talks about if need be for a season, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Have you ever read that? The word manifold means what? M-A-N-I-F-O-L-D. What does it mean? Many. M-A-N-Y. Many temptations coming at you from several sides. But by the time Peter gets finished with writing that epistle, he says, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Wow. That's right.
So there is a manifold grace that matches up to the manifold opposition.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you here? For example, if the enemy's coming at you all these ways, God has a manifold grace to meet him at every point and push him back.
Amen.
Now, that is exactly what he's talking about in Joel 2. He's saying, I've sent you the former rain moderately. Meaning in times past, here's what you've seen me do. Every time the enemy came at my people, I manifested whatever was necessary to push the enemy back. Just measure. Whatever the situation called for, I was there.
Amen.
I was Jehovah Shammah.
Right.
If it took angels pulling chariot wheels off, then that's what it took.
Right.
If it took Sennacherib hearing a rumor and turning around and backing off and never firing a shot, then that's what it took.
Right.
But whatever it took, if it took an old army being stricken blind so they had to be led around by the hand, then that's what it took. But there was a manifold grace that the rain that came from heaven in the just measure needed against whatever came.
Yes. Amen.
Now, what's interesting about the book of Joel, and you guys are pulling really well, I wasn't going to go this deep, but I'm going to go a little deeper. Will you go with me?
Yeah.
All right. And in the book of Joel, let's go back then to Joel chapter 1. And the reason I want to is I want to talk to you about what he says here. Glory be to God. He says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, hear this, you old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. He said, had this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers? He's saying, tell your children of it and let your children tell their children and their children another generation that what the palm worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left the caterpillar has eaten. And he talks about a nation that is laid bare, a nation that is spoiled so much that he says the vine is dried up. Verse 12, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, even the palm tree also, even all the trees of the field. Then when you get into chapter 2, here's what he says. He says in verse 2, there will be a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people. And a strong, there has not ever been the like. Never shall any be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is like the Garden of Eden in front of them, but when they pass through, behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing will escape. What he just said is there's a day coming that no human generation has ever witnessed this before. There's never been a day like it before. There'll never be a day like it again. But let me show you something. Go with me to the book of Daniel, because Daniel talks about it. Oh, glory be to God. Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, he says, and at that time shall Michael, verse 1, stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Read what it says here. Such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered.
Praise God.
Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Woo, glory. You do want to find yourself in the book.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Notice what he says then in verse 4. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, we've read that out of the King James and other verses and said, well, wow. I mean, look at technology. Look at what's exploding. I mean, look at the knowledge that's increasing. I don't think there's any doubt that there's a natural correlation to the advance and the increase of knowledge in the earth to say, hey, we're in the end times. I mean, my grandparents, who are now in heaven, but they were born in before 1910, like 1902 and 1906 or something like that. My grandparents lived a long enough life that they went from horse and buggy to the space shuttle.
Yeah, that's right.
Now think about this. I'm not talking about natural things now.
Right.
When you read about the Apostle Paul and his missionary endeavors, and the kind of sailing vessel he sailed in. Virtually almost 1,500 years. A millennia and a half. There was a group of people that sailed over here. Actually, it was over a millennia and a half. I mean, Columbus came prior to 1,500. And then, of course, when you talk about the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, when they came later, they actually sailed from Europe in almost virtually the same exact vessel that the Apostle Paul sailed his missionary journeys in.
Exactly right.
1,600 years, no technological development.
Right. That is right. Wow.
And in less than 100 years, we went from the space and the horse and buggy to the space shuttle.
Right.
Now here's what we need to understand. What you see, this earth isn't in the lead. This earth is a mirror.
Yeah.
It reflects the real realm.
Okay, yeah.
See, we've now entered the days where the sower is going to overtake the reaper and the reaper is going to overtake the sower.
Ooh, yeah.
Come on. We've now entered the days of what you saw, the increase of the speed of our seed.
Amen.
Because the days are coming. There's a reason that there's miracles of translation. Because God is going to get his people on assignment in situations because they are the answer and jets aren't fast enough.
Right.
So I'm going to be here preaching one day and I'm going to be stuck. And amen. Five grown men going to gather around me and not be able to move me in the middle of a service.
Right.
Where'd Brother Tracy go? I don't know. Maybe China. Might be Africa.
Right.
But I'll be gone.
Right. Exactly right.
I was talking to a gentleman, and he told this story about a friend of his that he knew personally, that the Lord told him to go to India. And he said, Lord, all right, I'll go. I mean, but you know, I don't know anybody over there. I don't have the money, all of that. And as the story goes, and I'll give you the simplified version, but as the story goes, I mean, God just kept on him about it until finally he's fine. Okay. The Lord kept telling him, go. So he went to the airport. No ticket, no money. He said, I'm just doing everything I can. I'm taking every step by faith, every step I know how. So he's in line at the counter, ticket counter. Any minute, believe in God, you know. Yeah. Somebody's going to walk up, give me a check, something. And every time, and then next. I mean, you know, closer he gets, God, you know it's time. So he gets up to the counter. No money. It's manifested. I said, what do you, well, excuse me a second, I'll be right back. I mean, what's he going to say to him? Got his suitcases in his hand. Walks in the restroom, trying to get somewhere private enough that he can have a conversation. Sets those suitcases down. God, I don't understand this. I've done everything I know how to do. I've stretched my faith as far as I can stretch it. You told me to go to India, and I don't have any money. I don't, God, I've done everything I can do. And he heard it again. And he was emphatic, almost yelled at him. I said, go to India. He picked up his bags. Yes, sir. He turned around. And he stepped out of the bathroom, out of the restroom. And when he stepped through the door, when his foot landed, he was in India. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. These miracles are here because there is a day coming that there has never been a day like this before it, and there'll never be a day like it after it. Because if there is a last day's opposition of demonic power, then there is a last day's anointing that's going to come on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to raise them up to walk in resurrection power on a level we have totally never experienced before.
Right.
The glory of God is about to come visit you and me and grant us and give us instructions. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you. One minister friend of mine, I mean, I can tell you the names, not necessary, but one minister friend of mine, you can probably figure it out if I gave you very many details. But he tried, there was a man that wanted to buy a piece of property, and he talked to three men about that piece of property because he wanted them to chip in, I think it was $3,000 a piece. And, and he was going to put in his, and they were going to put in theirs. I mean, it's a cheap. What do I want to buy that piece? There ain't nothing going on there. What am I going to buy that? He said, I'm telling you, we need to buy this property. Well, turns out, he said, left the table, decided not to do it. And within a matter of weeks, I mean, I'm talking about less than 6 months, maybe a month, 2-3 months, that man turned around and sold that property for $3 million. Supernatural event happened where they chose it for something that they needed. Right. The property escalated in value, and in about 90 days' time, he turned three and said, well, and the guy went back to him and said, who'd you get to go in on that deal? He said, no, I just, y'all wouldn't do it, so I decided to do it myself.
Praise God. Wow. Woohoo! That'll work.
You know, another preacher friend of mine was in Louisiana. He came and did a meeting. And I know both these preachers. One of them I've been in a few meetings with, and we know each other by acquaintance. And if I called his name, you've seen him on television. He was in a meeting, and this pastor friend of mine in church in Louisiana, and he's there, and all of a sudden he just stopped in the middle of his message. And it's a rural community. Church is not massive. And in fact, so much so that it wasn't built up across the road from him. And the Spirit of God stopped, and he said, I'm telling you, Pastor, I'm telling you, whatever you got to do, you need to buy, the Spirit of God is telling me, you need to buy as much property as you possibly can across the street, as far as you can buy it, as much as you can buy it. Every one of you needs to buy some. Pastor, I'm telling you, you need to buy that property over there. I don't understand it, don't know why, but you need to buy that property. Within, about a year or so, they had enough time to act on it. Inside a year, year and a half, they leased it to an oil company. They began to do seismic tests, and it became the largest pool of oil that had been found in recent history in the state of Louisiana.
Wow.
And do you know, I don't know how many people were in that service, but do you know less than half a dozen acted on that?
Yeah, I doubt it. Praise God.
We've got to understand where we are and who we are. Quit living out of our head. I just don't understand why we need to buy that building for. I mean, we ain't filling up the one we got. Quit arguing with God.
Yes.
I said, quit arguing with God.
Amen.
He's been trying to do this for you for a long time.
Amen.
But now we're moving into a place to where it's imperative that we have it. Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
It's imperative, and we're behind because we wouldn't listen to him.
Right.
Another friend of mine, Mr. Friend from Tulsa, told this story a number of years ago. There was a nonprofit organization that was doing some work in the area and had been, I think, for, 10, 15 years, And so a guy caught notice of what they were doing and was just blessed by it and talked to them a little bit. And over about a 15, 20-year period, they had never had more than about, I think it was, in fact, some years they didn't even have to file with the government because you got to make at least $25,000 to file.
Right.
And they never had more than about $30,000, you know, in the high 20s. But man, just had a golden heart, just everything good hands on, just doing what God told them to do. A group of businessmen found out what they were doing. Now hear me. Are you listening to me? Got together and felt led to endow them with 40 million with an M dollars. They went from less than $30,000 a year to 40 million. And they were trying to just scrap provision just to figure out how to spend the interest.
Wow.
First thing they had to do is put somebody on the payroll to handle the money.
Right. Praise God.
Sure is quiet in this Pentecostal church.
Woo-hoo.
I'm hearing it in my spirit. There are some people in the sound of my voice that God wants to do some spectacular things with.
Yes.
I'm one of them.
Yes, you are.
Glory be to God. I'm one of them.
Amen.
I said, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So what he's saying to us is, there is an anointing. If there is a day of challenge unlike any other, then there is a day of anointing that's going to come in just measure to meet that challenge and put us over. Just like he brought Israel out of Egypt. Just like he brought Daniel out of the lion's den. He's going to bring us out of this beginning of sorrows. And we're going to rise and shine, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen on us. There's a spirit of victory all over us. Go ahead and praise God. It's true. Woo! Woo! Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he is a teacher. One of the things that he's going to begin to do, some of these age-old things we thought were operating in our life, God's going to have us go back and pick them up. There's an entire generation that knows little or nothing about the things you and I take for granted. Spirit of God began to talk to me, Brother Tony, about righteousness. Now, I'm telling you about the Spirit of the living God. According to Hebrews 1, a scepter, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now, I believe in faith. I believe in love. I believe in grace. I believe in all the things we all believe. I thank God for grace. But let me just explain something to you. The abundance of grace reigns through the free gift of righteousness. And if you don't have a revelation of righteousness, no, you can't receive the grace of God. Because his kingdom functions, the authority in his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. Glory be to God. And it is a righteousness consciousness, Brother Chris, that moves us into the miracles of a creative order. See, we need to understand this. We need to understand that 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be what? Say that three times.
Made.
Come on, you slow.
Made.
We might be made. Made what?
Righteous.
See, when we were made righteous, that was a creative act.
Right.
Oh, come on now. See, Ephesians 4 says that we're to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to realize that Isaiah 45 says, I created man upon the earth, and I have raised him up in righteousness. Until we get a revelation of righteousness, we are not going to have the kingdom authority to walk in the power of creative miracles. We're not going to see legs grow out and eyeballs form and body parts come until we get out of the guilt, out of the shame, out of the low me, poor me, I hadn't prayed enough, I hadn't done enough, and find out that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I have the name of Jesus in which every knee will bow and every tongue will swear. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, there is a explosion of the revelation of righteousness that is coming into the earth, and it's going to release this mighty anointing of the creative miracles that we've been believing God for. You're about to see a resurgence of the revelation of righteousness on a level you have never experienced before. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 32, I believe it's verse 1, by me, talking about righteousness, kings reign. You get down in the latter part of that chapter, and he says, righteousness will reign on the fruitful field. Glory be to God. We need to understand, I mean, righteousness, if there's one thing that's tied to resurrection power, it's righteousness. I'm laying the foundation tonight because when we get into this flow, your spirit man is going to absolutely explode on the level of the ground blowing up and the stone rolling away and Jesus coming out of the tomb. I'm telling you, according to Romans, I'll prove it to you later. I'm not going to teach it out tonight. I just want to sow some seeds. According to Romans 4, Brother Chris, verse 25, have you ever wondered, let me ask you this, before I give you the nugget, I just gave you the scripture reference, so I kind of blew it. Have you ever wondered when heaven knew it was enough? When Jesus went to hell, why 3 days? Have you ever wondered when he was raised, why was he raised? Whew, glory be to God. Did you know when it talks about, in fact, anybody know what the Magna Carta is? Did you know most scholars, believe me, I have about three hands. We have to have a history lesson here.
They're absent.
The Magna Carta in early Europe, somewhere around 1200, 1300, was a document by the people that basically limited the powers of authoritarian government and gave rights to the people. I mean, that's the basic core of it. That was the charter document that every other Bill of Rights and every other Freedom Act, that's the foundation of all of the rights. It is actually, the Magna Carta is actually the document out of which our Bill of Rights was formed and our Constitution was written. Now hear me. I mean, this is huge. You need to go home and do some research on the Magna Carta. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Genesis 15:6. Almost all scholars believe, I'm talking about astute, you know, profound, long, lifelong biblical scholars that have studied the documents of the covenants and the thread that binds them together. Almost all scholars will tell you, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, imputed to him for righteousness. They believe Genesis 15:6 is the Magna Carta for the believer.
Wow.
It is the access to everything we have. Now I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that when you get down to the end of Romans chapter 4, and if I were you, my God, if I were you, I'm seeing over into some things right now. I wouldn't miss one night.
Amen.
I don't care what I had to do. I'd get somebody to work for me.
Come on.
Something. Because what's going to happen is, when you get in the end, righteousness is what caused Isaac to be born.
Right.
And it says it wasn't written for his sake alone, but for us. Right. That it will be imputed to us right. If we believe like he believed.
Right.
And by the time you get to the last verse of Romans 4, It says Jesus was delivered up for our sins and was raised up when we were declared righteous.
Woo!
What'd you say?
See, King James, yeah. Rewind that tape. What'd you say? All right, let's go over there and look at it. There is a righteousness resurrection connection. And you'll never walk in resurrection power until you first get a revelation of righteousness. Glory be to God. Now look at what he says here. He says in Romans chapter 4, he says in verse 3, now this was not written. Actually, let's read verse 22. Therefore, it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Say, this was written for me. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now, the King James reads, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, this is the way that the Greek reads. And another translation reads this way, and it's a more accurate translation. It says, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised when we were declared righteous. It was the declaration of us being declared righteous which caused it to be finished so he could rise up.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
See, that's how resurrection came when we were declared righteous.
Right.
That's what God was after.
Right.
Otherwise, he'd still be in the ground paying for those sins. That was the whole objective of the death, burial, and resurrection. So the fact that he is raised is proof to heaven, earth, and under the earth, we're right with God. So no wonder that Jesus said in John 16, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convince the world of three things. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness. One of the Holy Spirit's assignments is to convince you that you are righteous because you don't see him. See, it's better for you that you don't see him.
That's right. That's right.
See, he rose from the dead and sat down. See, when you get a revelation of this, you're going to understand what you got. And the reason I know you are is because when Jesus walked down into the River Jordan and John said, oh, No, I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy to unloose the shoe latches off your feet. He said, no, John, allow it to be.
Yes.
This is a big statement. Suffer it to be so now, because it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now you know what the River Jordan was about. It was his identification with human sin.
Right.
He didn't need to be baptized. He hadn't sinned.
Right.
But he was identifying with us.
That's right.
So when he went under that water, he is showing us.
Right.
When he came out of the water, the heavens opened. And from the glory of heaven, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit came out of heaven and descended upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yep. Yep.
So what is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Proof you've been made right.
Oh
my God. It's the spirit of sonship. It's the earnest of your inheritance. It is to get you to the place to where you're God inside minded.
Yes.
That you know greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
So every time you broso, I know something inside me that's bigger than me. It's living in my house and talking through my spirit and woo! And how could he come in there and take up residence inside of me unless I had been washed from my sins and cleansed and become a temple where he could live? Because he is, after all, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory be to God. So when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't do miracles as the Son of God.
No.
He did all his miracles as the Son of Man. In right standing with his Father, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Glory to God.
So that baptism under the water coming out is a type and shadow of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a prophetic forward-looking picture that every one of us, he showed us what a man should walk like once his sins have been washed away and he's full of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Right. Amen.
Come on.
He identified with man and came out the other side fulfilling his ministry as a human being.
Yes.
Anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Wow.
With access to only the weapons humans have access to. A blood covenant.
Yes. Wow.
So he could say, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father. The fact that we don't see him is proof we're right. Since we've been made right with God, we have the same spirit of sonship on us. So whatever the Holy Spirit anointed him to do, it's anointed us to do. It's the spirit of righteousness. It's the scepter of righteousness.
Yes.
It's the scepter of his kingdom. Now, let me show you something about the gospel. And I guess I've at least preached myself to this point. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one, his anointing. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's sozo, deliverance, healing, preservation, soundness, prosperity, everything you could hope to be, the whole person being healed wholly,
right,
with no trace of the curse, right, nothing missing, nothing broken, right, salvation. Yes. The gospel is, it is the power of God unto your deliverance. To everybody that believes it. To Jew first, also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein. Why is the gospel the power of God to deliver you? Because in it, righteousness is revealed. A gospel that reveals no righteousness carries no power to deliver. There is no resurrection power to the unrighteous. He was raised when we were declared righteous. We were made righteous, created in righteousness and true holiness. Once we get our righteousness consciousness, we'll begin to walk in an authority we have never known. It's the scepter of his kingdom. Now, this is an amazing statement that he makes here. Because when you come down to verse 18, he continues it. He says in verse 17, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteous one shall live by faith.
Right.
But then he says in verse 18, and anybody got an amplified version? John, do you have that? Let me borrow that. Notice what he says in verse 18. Do you guys have amplified up there? Could you bring that up? I'll just do it off the monitor. Now, in the King James, in fact, can you flip back and forward from the King James? Bring the King James up first. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, if you read that in King James, it seems like God's angry at you. And I mean, you know, if you're unrighteous, he's going to kill you. That's not what he's saying. Look at this in the Amplified Version. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, in their wickedness, repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative.
Wow. That's serious.
Now listen to me. I'll bless those who bless you. And I'll curse those who curse you. What's he saying? Well, God's not going around cursing anybody. God's not choosing who he blesses and curses. No, no. If my wife were here tonight, I'd use this illustration. Some of you have heard me use it. I am covenant obligated to her. I love her with every fiber of my being. To the extent that I lay down my life for her. Now, I love you, and I'm covenant connected to you by blood. But I have a different covenant obligation to her than I do you. It's a different level. Now, I'm fine with you as long as you bless her.
Amen.
Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
As long as you bless her, you and me, we're going to get along fine. But you come against her. Or you try to harm her. I'm going to take you out. And I'm serious about that. Now here's the thing. I may not even know you. So realize this. If you're going to try to hurt her, I'm going to stop you from hurting her.
Right.
Now you want to know why? Because I love her. Because I'm covenant obligated to her. Now I'm not going to hurt you because I hate you. So what you would be feeling is not the effects of my hate. What you would be feeling is the effects of my love for her.
Right.
You're fine with her? You'll never. I'm fine with you. I'll bless you. In fact, if you bless her, I'll bless you. But if you try to hurt her, I'll stop you from hurting her. And when I take you out, it's not because I'm even upset with you. I can stay right here in the love of God and never have an ill thought about you, but I'll pull the trigger. Because I'm not going to stand by and let you hurt her. Because I'll stop you from hurting her.
Amen.
Now this is what God is saying about the seed of Abraham. You bless them, I'll bless you for blessing them.
Right.
But you try, bring that back up. But you try to repress the truth, hinder it, hold it back, and render it and make it inoperative in their lives. And I'm going to stop you from trying to stop my people.
Amen.
Right. I'm telling you, when a revelation of righteousness gets hold of you, you're going to realize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And there's an anointing on you that's going to stop everybody's ability to stop you. If they stand against you, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What you see ain't all we got. And so no matter what is arrayed against you to hinder you or to try to make it inoperative, the righteous indignation of a holy God will rise up on the inside, and not because he hates them, but because he loves you, he'll stop them from stopping you.
Right. Amen.
So you need to get a revelation of how much God loves you. Because God is not in the person trying to stop you. God is not in the situation trying to hinder you. God hasn't sent the issue to teach you something. No, no. God's not in the opposition. He's not in the storm. He's not in the mountain. He's not in the lack. He's not in the yoke. He's not in the addiction. He's not in the incarceration. He's in the blessing and the freedom and the healing and the prosperity. And you need to realize that God's not in that other. Because if you don't get a revelation of that, if you think God has anything at all to do with what's coming against you, you won't use your faith to stop it because you don't want to come against the will of God. So if there's one little tiny thread in you that thinks that there's a perfect timing, or maybe this sickness, maybe going through this has taught you something and God wants you to... Well, see, if there's any little hint in there of that, then you won't ever use your faith to cast it off of you.
Right, right.
Because you don't... You love God. You wouldn't rebel against God. But it amazes me the Christians that are so blind. They believe God made them sick to teach them something, but then rebel against God and go to the doctor and try to get healed. I mean, if God put the sickness on you to teach you something, why not pray for a double dose?
That's right.
Maybe you'll learn it quicker. Why are you rebelling against God and going to the doctor trying to get healed if God made you sick? Come on. No. Understand this. If God wanted to get you, you'd be God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
There wouldn't be nothing left of you but a greasy spot on the road. Well, the ways of the Lord are mysterious. I mean, he's hiding out from me. No. Listen.
That's right.
If God was hiding something, you would never find it.
Come on. Come on.
Trust me, he got better hiding places than you got looking places. Let me just tell you, God is for you.
Yeah.
He stood right out on the center of the universe and did this in front of everybody. He didn't hide this from you or me. And he wants you to know that there's better in front of you. Glory be to God. And that his best is yet to come. And he wants you and me to get a revelation, not only of how much he loves us, to know and believe it, but to get a revelation, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. I'm telling you, this is going to be one more year. It's going to be an absolutely awesome year. And if you want me to, I'll just leave you with a couple of things to lay the foundation, and we'll talk about where we're headed. Glory be to God. But Spirit of God began to... Now, I'm not a big numerology person, but I want you to understand some things about where we are on the time clock, the prophetic time clock of God. To me, you delve too deep into the numbers and all of that. You really kind of open yourself to familiar spirits. You know, we don't study astrology and numerology and all that stuff. We understand it. But there's got to be enough spiritual wherewithal about us to read the book of Hebrew and do a little study and realize that God, the entire alphabet of Hebrew, the whole language is numerical, mathematical. Every Hebrew letter has a number. All Hebrew words have a gematria, which is a combined number. And inside the letters themselves. Now, if you ever wondered how come God said, heaven and earth will not pass away till every jot and tittle are fulfilled, it's because the little hooks on the Hebrew letters have numbers. They mean stuff. There's stuff hidden inside those words. That's why every time you read the Bible, you get something new out of it. Because
right.
There's stuff in there you've never seen.
Right.
You could study it for 1,000 lifetimes and not get it.
That's right.
It's going to take eternity to unveil it.
Right.
But he's hidden it for our glory.
That's right.
So there is an element that's not wrong about that. Because we see God works in certain numbers. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Now, when we look, and you'd almost have to be, you know, just kind of blind to one eye and half brain dead not to know that 7 is a big number with God.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. He said, there's 6 days which man ought to work on the 7th, he rested.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I can go down the list, but I mean, let's face it, 7 is the number of spiritual perfection. So when we came into 2014, something happened on the prophetic time clock. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, we are in double spiritual perfection.
Yeah.
And when you, I'm telling you, there are some things coming to completion as if you'd never walked through the difficulty of trying to apprehend them. They're coming into manifestation. Now, if you don't realize this, you need to understand that Abraham was 86 years old when Isaac was born. God didn't talk to him for about 13 years. He was 100, or excuse me, when Ishmael was born, but it was 100, 14 years past, then Isaac was born. So we need to get a hold of the fact that when we're talking about God's plan, look at what happened with Joseph. God gave Pharaoh 2 dreams. It means it's established. It will shortly come to pass. There were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. At the end of 14 years, Egypt wound up with all the wealth of the whole world. There was a wealth transfer. Are you following me here? So you need to understand that Jacob served 7 years and got deceived. He got Leah. But thank God he got Rachel on the front end. Oh, come on now. Come on now. And after those 7 years, he had double what he went to get.
That's right.
Come on, glory.
Amen.
Oh, come on, glory be to God. You understand where we're going with this? So we need to understand Job is the same way. Did you know Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters? Now, we understand that in Christ is neither male nor female, but when you understand what God is saying here, you realize that when Job got everything turned around, he got twice as many camel, he got twice as many donkeys, twice as many horses, whatever he had, twice as much money. But God only matched him kid for kid. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? That he had seven sons and three daughters. Well, it looks like to me he'd had 14 more kids. 14 more sons, I should say. But he didn't. He only had seven more sons. What was God saying to him? See, if he had 10,000 donkeys, he got 20,000 donkeys. If he had 15,000 camels, he got 30,000 camels. But he had seven sons, and God only gave him seven sons. Why? Because God is telling him that his sons were not like the camels and the donkeys. His sons were alive and well. His sons were with him. Yeah. The sons were the whole reason he got in trouble. He's worried about them anyway.
Right. Right.
So he's got seven sons in heaven and seven more sons in earth. The number 14 is actually the number that the Hebrews believe is the number for fulfillment and fullness. It means heaven and earth coming together. Now, how do you know that? Because it's a one and four put together. What do you mean one and four put together? Well, the number one means unity and beginnings. The number four is always, every time it's used, the number of earth. There are four corners in the earth. There are four seasons. There are four people groups listed throughout the Word of God in about eight different scriptures. All of God's creative acts, there are four types of soil in which to sow. There are four watches of the day. There are four lunar phases. Here's what you need to understand. The number four always, and every time it's used, always represents the sum total of the material created universe. What you see. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but we say, well, God created the world in 7 days. Well, no. And I say, well, you're right. He rested on the seventh day, so he created the world in 6 days. Guess what? Wrong again. God created the world in 4 days. At the end of day four, he had finished creating the sum total of the material universe. All it was left was to fill it up. Day five and day six, he created the animals, the living creatures, and man to replenish, to fill up the material universe.
Right.
So understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about heaven and earth coming together. This is the moment of fulfillment on a level you have never dreamed. If you don't believe it, there's a reason there's four Gospels. Almost all scholars believe that four Gospels indicate the fullness of Jesus' life and ministry and manifestation on earth. That's why there had to be four. Because the number four is the material universe. So when the four Gospels reveal in a body of flesh created from the material of the universe, heaven filled that earthly container and Jesus walked heaven and earth together. Now, day five and day six are 2 days. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years unto a day. Day five and day six are representative of the church age. Follow me now. You understand that there were 2,000 years from Adam till Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham till Jesus. Jesus didn't appear on the planet till day four of creation. At the end of day four, Jesus appeared. Since Jesus, there's been 2 days. 2,000 years. This is the age of fullness.
Yeah.
Jesus finished it at the end of day four.
Right.
And our assignment has been to fulfill it for 2 days. And we are at the end of the second day and very early in the morning on the third.
Glory to God.
Resurrection power is at hand on a level. Actually, the number 14 is the number of double spiritual perfection. It's 2 times 7. It means double completion. It means the spiritual and the natural coming together. 1 7 is the fullness of earth, the fullness, the completion of it. The other 7 is the completion of heaven's plan. 14 is the 7 of earth and the 7 of heaven coming together. Am I helping anybody?
Yes.
So when I was talking to the Lord about this, he said, you tell my people, this will be a year of excessive victory produced by heaven and earth coming together. He said it'll be a year of an explosion of spiritual gifts. Fullness, completion, all nine spiritual gifts you're going to witness this year. A year of entrance, that is the opening of the door into the promised land. Now this is the one I really wanted to get to. Now I've got so much more, but he says this is the year of unprecedented revelation, especially revelation of righteousness, which will manifest heavenly authority through the earthly church to walk in the creative power of God and demonstrate defeat of death, demons, and disease.
Glory to God.
I'm going to read that one more time.
Come on.
Because that's what we're about to have over the next few days in these meetings. Amen. We're about to have a year of unprecedented revelation, especially the revelation of righteousness, which will manifest heavenly authority through the earthly church to walk in the creative power of God to demonstrate defeat of death, demons, and disease. Glory be to God. Now there's a number of other things that he talked to me, but I do want to tell you that he did tell me 2014 will be a season of unprecedented prosperity for the church. He said it'll be like a wealth transfer to position us not to be affected with what is coming economically to the world. He said many in the church will mistake this window for a natural economy fix and will proceed as usual with dire consequences on the tail end. It is a window or doorway of time like Joseph's 7 years of plenty. And by the end of God's plan, he will have transferred influence, power, and resources into his church for those who see and obey.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, glory be to God. He said to send things to me about America. He said some things to me about Europe. He talked to me about some specific things. Whew, glory be to God. Man. I sense in my spirit. I've gone just about far enough tonight. But he talked to me about this. When I went back, I was reading it on the airplane coming here, guys. And I didn't put two and two together until that address from the Pope. Until the fulfillment of everything the Lord said to me 2 years ago. Guys, we are hurtling toward the harvest of the ages.
Amen.
At warp speed. My God Almighty. You sense the anointing on that?
Yes.
Now I can promise you this. We have seen. In fact, do this. Stand on your feet and let's just wait on the Lord a minute. Ishmo taka sonde, ishkele baso sfere. Mi stona sibele kish titos sfere. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost here for a minute. Bidi leba kur bread de bado dum de de shisti de bi fi fi. Mi de nonte e kreski de bi fi fredies. Mi de engrasta ondrondo gondre nere de bas fondeleskis. Mire non drondo gondre ne stiki di dia pranda basto stere neme sinti caranindro sto corredada red be separ. Come on now, let's amp it up just a little bit here. Vidre ste grodondre ne de basungre de dici mire non drondo gondre ne che c'è che le lava sotto di dischi etere da basso. Sister, you right there in the salmon color and the khaki blazer, come here please. Let's just hold that for a second. Maranendrosta. Maranendra gendre nishi engla namar rondring anishti. Mastigre, stendro, sto, redeba su coradeschi, marinindrea, marinindre deba cundre nesengla la mano nostro genenistighi, mor brad, becchi cede debla brad, mor nesti, marinimbros, nenenendo, marinengrenisti, marinendra gondro, nondra gondra, no sengrenisci andaba, veredeschi shishi. Daughter, this will be an unusual year for you. This will be the greatest year you've ever experienced. I have things in store for you that you cannot and have not even yet understood, imagined, or comprehended. I've brought you here tonight to talk to your heart, to get you to open up to the greater plan that I have in your immediate future. If you will receive what I am saying to you, saith the Spirit of grace, by this time next year, you'll look at your life and say, my God, I'm not even in the same place. In 12 calendar months, my life has been revolutionized. Woo! Look and see! For resurrection power has set me free. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory. Come on now, let's pray in the Holy Ghost here for a minute. Beredisky, Marananga, Marananda. I see an old fashioned like a padlock. And I see it coming loose and chains falling off. You have felt limited to some degree. Almost like a straitjacket on the inside. And you've almost felt guilty because there's not anything in the natural that should make you feel this way. You feel guilty for what you're feeling constrained. But it's not in your body. It's in your spirit. Your spirit man has been shut down, limited, wrapped up in a box. There's some things, pop. There goes the lock right there. Woo, glory to God, the chains are coming off right now. And you're being unwrapped and untethered. And the Spirit of the living God is setting your spirit man free to soar like an eagle spreads its wings and rides the winds of the storms that come. Yes, this will be a year of great liberty. This will be a year of great freedom. And you shall see, I have great things in store for you, saith the Lord. I'm going to begin to set you free from the inside out. So rise up and walk in faith and do not doubt, because you'll be one of the ones that sits at the foot of the glory spout. Somebody's ankles are being healed. You need a healing in your ankle joints, particularly your right one. They're being healed right now. If you'll act on that, if you'll run, walk, do what you couldn't do, the power, the healing power of Almighty God is moving right now.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who is that? Come here. Who is that? Glory to God. Come show me. Come on here. Show me. Show me, sister. Glory to God. Show us. Show us. Come running across here. Glory to God. I tell you, the healer's in the house. Glory to God. Look at this. Look at her. Look at her. Go. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come here, sister. Come on up here. Woo! Glory to God. While you're watching her, somebody needs a healing in your teeth. God's working a creative miracle in your mouth right now. Glory be to God. Be well. Hey, hey. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Receive it now in Jesus' name. There are people being healed all throughout this auditorium. I'm telling you, there are people that God's literally filling teeth, recreating teeth. You might have a tooth where there was a false tooth. You understand what I'm saying to you? Glory to God. Use your faith now. Use your faith now. Let's believe God. Give me a little bit more. I'm pushing too hard. And I know it's not just me. I'm kind of having to push some things out. There's an atmosphere here that the reason I stopped is the utterance is not what it ought to be. And I don't want to force it out. And so I'm just going to... Iko, radibeski. So I need all the help I can get. Glorabese, midideski, moradafra, maradeso, maraifrodos. Woo! I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, I am about to perform some miracles like I did for my children on the shores of the Red Sea. I am going to begin to blow through situations. Say, hold that for just a second. I'm going to begin to blow through situations. And I'm going to open a path for you that looked impassable.
Yeah.
And it'll be none of your doing, saith the Lord.
Yes.
I will say to you now by the Spirit of God, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Say this out loud. Yes.
Yes.
I will.
I will.
I will stand still.
I will stand still.
My God.
My God.
Has at work for me. He makes a way.
He makes a way.
Where there is no way.
There is no way.
I see His salvation. Working in my behalf now. He's going to take me out of the wrong and put me into the right.
I stand still
and I shall see
in the first month
the delivering power of my God. Woo! Somebody give the Lord a shout. Glory to God. Sir, could I minister to you, please? You. Yes, sir. Yes, please, quickly, come here. Orda, redbaka, segaradishki. I'm going to do some things in your physical body. Will you receive it? There's been a weakness, a struggle with weakness at times. But the Lord is, well, there it is. There's that anointing right there. Just take a deep breath. Oh, and you can't receive anything. If I was throwing the football at you, it'd bounce off your chest. Why don't you just reach on up and take whatever heaven has? Why don't we just reach on up and take whatever heaven has? Woo! Strength! Now! In Jesus' name. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Somebody just got healed of a digestive tract disorder. Your stomach, your abdomen, your intestines, you're going to find that it's all brand new. That all those organs are brand new. That all that flesh in there is brand new. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now the work's happening where you are. Right now you feel it going through your body. Right now, glory be to God. In fact, there's somebody here that's severely lactose intolerant. You've had issues with all kinds of milk forever. But I'm telling you, you're delivered now. You're free now. Your body won't respond to it now. Glory be to God. It's ripping through the crowd like a wave of glory. If you have any digestive tract issue whatsoever and you desire ministry in your physical body, get out of your seat and get up here right now. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Make one line for me. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell them, Lord. I just heard the Lord. Yeah, I'll tell them. Brete, ekaradiski, elebaka, ardeske. Now, hey, I may or may not get my hands on you. Everybody, open your eyes and look at me. The eyes are the windows of the spirit, man. I need to talk to your spirit because when I say these words, your body's going to change by a saying of God. Your body, your life's about to change. God just gave me a saying. And this saying is going to prepare your future. The age to come is going to be different than the age at the dinner table yesterday. Glory be to God. So I need you men to watch them because the power of God's going to come on them as soon as I say it. Woo! Glory be to God. Everybody look at me. Are you ready? I'm going to say it, and I'm going to command you to be healed. Are you ready? I heard heaven say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Be healed now. Glory be. There it went right there. Woo! Now take the rest of it, Charles. Take a deep breath. Be well. Me and y'all need to move quickly with me. You're too slow. I love you, but stay with me. Stay with me. Somebody needs to stay with me. Glory be to God. Be healed.
Thank you.
Bless you, sister.
Thank you.
Bless you, sister. Hey! Woo! Be well. Hey! Be made whole, sister. Glory be to God. Come here, Doug. Come here. Come here, brother. Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't anybody working with me over there. Glory be to God. Pastor, not supposed to have to catch folk. Be made whole. Glory. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Are you ready? I saw myself doing something. The open doors, the double open doors into a life you've never known, into the healing power of God are immediately in front of you. They're swinging wide open. You're entering into a future that is beyond anything you've ever dreamed. Get ready, saith the Lord, because it's beyond anything you've ever seen. You are, look at me, look at me. You are being healed now to the glory of God. There it is. Look at me. You realize what hit you when I did that? Did you feel it come on your body? Now watch. You need to be prepared. Because there's something on the other side of these doors. It's not like anything you've ever experienced. These are the doors. Are you ready? They're opening to you. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, now! Glory be to God. You've wanted to walk in power. Well, now is the hour. But fasting and crying unto me is not the only answer you will see. Yes, I'm pleased when you sacrifice your flesh, but I'm more pleased when your faith you do stretch. So build your faith higher, for it's not what you don't eat, it's what you do. And I want to change the diet coming inside the spirit of you. You've allowed some voices in your life that have taken your religion's way. Let the faith message come alive in your heart this day. Now, heaven's pleased with you, son. I'm telling you, you like the fighter jet guy that went vertical. And nobody I know that gives more to the kingdom than you.
Yeah. Amen.
Nobody burns a candle at both ends more than you, but he didn't ever call you to burn a candle at both
ends.
That's right. Yeah. And he's going to make some adjustments in you this year. Mm-hmm. Your gift is too precious. You've got to stop some of this. And let the grace of God take over.
Yeah. Praise God.
And he will, and he's going to. And you're going to see more miracles than you've ever dreamed.
Yes.
And it's not going to be because you're fasting them in. And fasting's good. But you're going to have to get a revelation of righteousness and the authority that you possess in that name. Because fasting or no fasting, and I don't know why I'm even telling you this. It's not because that's wrong, because actually I just came off of a fast. So I obviously believe in it. But the Lord said, I heard it just loud and strong. He said, you tell him, it's not what you don't eat, it's what you do eat. Because the power you're looking for is not a flesh power, it's a spirit power.
Yes. Whew. Good word. Amen. My God.
And you are going to see more authority than you've ever dreamed. School yourself back in the name of Jesus. Get your spirit man built up in the power of the command authority of your words. Yes. Find out again who you are in Christ and teach it to others. And I'll begin to do things that will obliterate that religious tradition you've been bumping up against. I want to help you, son. And this year I'm going to on a level you've never experienced.
This is your moment.
Oh, glory. Oh, yeah, umbra, sodaka, seleba, aka. I hear the word realignment. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to speak to you, saith the Lord. And you're going to be real clear about your alignments. And you're going to disassociate from some, associate with others. But do as I instruct you. I'm not trying to hold your ministry back, son. I gave it to you. I'm trying to get you where I called you. So let me. You've been asking me. Yeah, okay, I'll tell him. Sure, I will. I'll tell him. You already know. I heard the Spirit of God say, you tell him everything he's been asking me about. He already knows the answer. But there are issues and consequences to making those decisions. And clarity must come. And tonight, the blinders are leaving. The answers are coming. And you and your wife are going to walk in a place of prosperity like you've never seen.
Hey, praise God.
Stretch out your hands to the future and rejoice and be glad. For I, the Lord, am ordering your steps into a land of plenty beyond anything you've ever dreamed. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Brasta. This has come to me three times, and I thought I'd tell you in private, but I'm going to tell you in public. Stand up here and look at me. I want to talk to you. Because this is going to go all over you when I say it to you. But it's really, and thank God we're ministers. It's for you, but actually, it's for all everybody hearing it. I was casting the devil out of a person one time. And the devil had the audacity to say to me, in this real kind of, has anybody ever heard the demon talk manifest? They have really, you know, weird voices. And here's a person who, this isn't their natural voice at all. And that demon's taking hold of their vocal cords, and I'm telling it, come out in the name of Jesus. And that demon said, I'm the kind that only comes out by prayer and fasting. I said, you lying devil, that's not what the word says. Word says the devil wasn't cast out because of unbelief. Not because he fasted or didn't fast, but I believe. Out you go. And the person went, ah! Fell to the floor and was got free.
Amen.
Let me teach you a little something about Matthew 17. He's not talking about demons that only come out by prayer and fasting. He's talking about unbelief only comes out by. And if you're not filling your spirit with faith while you're fasting, you're just going hungry.
Right. There you are. That's the truth.
For no reason. Actually making yourself more susceptible to the devil.
That is right.
In fact, you can get over into the place where you're seeking so much for an answer, you'll entertain false voices and familiar spirits.
That's right.
No, no. You can't twist God's arm by, you know, what you don't. God is not impressed by what you don't eat. Oh, what you do, really. Now, obedience now, that's a different deal. If he told you to do this or this or this, you better do it. Because now obedience now, there inside obedience is authority that you can't muster up in a million years. You understand what I'm saying to you? And now obedience now, there's your trigger pull. But what I want to say to you is, and everybody here learned something today, Spirit of God. He said, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Isn't that what he said?
Right.
He said, whosoever, if you had seed of faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to this mountain, remove hence the other place, and it removing nothing be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He's not talking about the devil.
Right.
He's talking about this kind of unbelief.
Right.
Fasting doesn't change God.
Amen.
Fasting changes you.
Amen.
Fasting doesn't make the devil weaker. He's already destroyed and under your feet.
Right.
Right. Right.
All it does is get your body under so your spirit man can operate for a change.
Right.
Instead of your stinking mind and your brain and your flesh wanting its way.
Right.
That's all it does. And when you get to the place, let me tell you how you know when your fast is over. When the presence of God comes.
Amen.
According to the Bible, they asked Jesus, well, John the Baptist, his disciples, they fasted often. He said, why don't you fast? And he said, why should my disciples fast when the bridegroom's with them?
Mm-hmm. Presence with them.
Right. The presence.
Right.
He said, the day's going to come when I'm not going to be here. He said, they'll fast in those days. What's he saying? He's saying, you fast for the purpose of the presence in manifestation. So once his presence comes, almost always, maybe not every time, but almost always, the fast is over. In fact, that is exactly what Jesus, the head of the church, told Brother Hagin when he appeared to him. He called him, appeared to him. He went to heaven and hell. He had his hands held, put the finger of his right hand in each palm of his hands, gave him a special healing ministry to the sick. And one of the instructions was, now, if this anointing ever lifts and the presence ever leaves you, he said, fast and pray till it returns. That's when the fast is over.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
That's when the yoke's destroyed. It's by faith. Am I helping anybody? Glory be to God. Listen, I'm going to say something to you. We're right on the border of it now. Boy, I don't ever tell this. Goodness, I'm surprised he's leading me into this. I've been on quite a number of lengthy fasts. My world's been changed because of them. But it's only because of the revelation that came during it. The revelation is what changed it. The fasting almost had nothing to do with it. I just had to fast long enough to get my flesh down so he could get across to me where my mind had shut up, my body had shut up, so he could get across to me what he wanted me to have. So understand now, 30 days, 40 days, 21 days, many times. More than I tell people. And you want to know why I don't ever tell people? I don't ever remember telling anybody this. Because it's actually not healthy. Moses fasted not for 40 days. Read your Bible. He fasted 80. Mm-hmm. On a mountain, which means he probably didn't have food or water. Well, that's impossible. That's supernatural.
Yeah.
Elijah went in the strength of angels for 40 days.
Right.
That's supernatural. Any fast longer than 3 days, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong for you, but any fast longer than 3 days, and if it takes more than 3 days for God to talk to you about something, you're in serious trouble.
Right.
I mean, seriously. What God wants more than anything is a fasted life.
Right.
Right. When the Holy Ghost says don't eat that second piece of pie, he wants you to not eat it.
Right.
If he says quit drinking coffee, he wants you to quit drinking it. He doesn't want you to like go on a fast for 7 days and then go back to Starbucks.
Watch out. Right. Watch out.
Right.
He's trying to get you to control your flesh.
Right.
Not twist his arm with a gimmick.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Good.
Now, I say this because, boy, I know this sounds crazy. I promise you, you just have to know my heart. I'm not boasting about anything. I'm just saying to you, I have revelation on fasting. I know what it is to fast, and I know what the Bible teaches about it. And really, God's been trying to get me to write a book about it for a long time. Well, I'm behind writing a book about it about 20 years. Because now there's all kind of books about it. So much that fasting is more of a fad and a religious order and event than it is an understanding that the whole purpose of it is to remove every burden and destroy every yoke. In fact, there are a lot of people fasting that are doing exactly opposite of what Isaiah 58 says to do. He says, you shall not fast as you do this day, to smite with the fist of wickedness, or to so forth. Most people are fasting trying to achieve some type of a breakthrough of their enemy. That's exactly opposite of what Isaiah 58 says.
That's already been done.
Exactly opposite. Not even Bible. It's not Bible to fast to get God to smite your enemy. Your enemy's already been defeated.
Yes.
No. Fasting. The reason Jesus fasted is why we ought to fast. Jesus said in John 17:17, for their sakes I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. Did you know nothing Jesus ever did he did for himself? He didn't have to. He did it because the love of God drove him to carry an anointing to set other people free.
Yeah.
The purpose of all fasting is that we might have the presence of God with us, not to get our own needs met, but to carry an anointing that'll cast out devils and make them scream when we walk by and undo the heavy burden. That's what he says in Isaiah 58, that you undo the heavy burden, that you break every yoke, that you let the oppressed go free. that you feed the hungry. Then he says, your healing will spring forth speedily, and your sun will security will rise like the noonday sun. Listen, we're not fasting to grow our church.
That's right.
We're not fasting to become the next person on a nationwide television program. We're fasting to actually walk into a place and our flesh not control the flow of the service and actually have something
Amen.
To say.
Amen.
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 It's going to change somebody's life. That's where the anointing is. Glory be to God. So try telling your body no sometime. Instead of just going 24 hours and not eating anything, try getting to a place to where instead of a big old 12-ounce ribeye, you eat 4 ounces of meat. And a salad on the side.
Yeah.
And you cut out bread for about 21 days.
Yeah.
You know what kind of bread I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Those big old fat yeast belly rolls. They've got all that honey butter on them. That you're thinking about when you drive by and turn in the parking lot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I done quit preaching going to meddling now.
Yeah, that's right.
You got any food at your house?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. I did not come in here to say that. I don't even have a chip on my shoulder about it. I hadn't even thought about it, to tell you the truth. The Holy Ghost is doing something here. He's trying to bring some help to the body of Christ because he wants us to walk in power. Instead of go through religious motion. I mean, I'm for this. I told my wife the other day, I said, it's coming up in my spirit that our whole body needs to step into some things, and we may just need, for those that will participate, call a fast. Mm-hmm. But it came up in my spirit.
Yeah.
I didn't do it just because it's January 1.
Right.
Right.
Am I helping anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know this could be offensive. I get it.
I
know it flies in the face of what's popular, but I wasn't called to be pastor popular. In fact, I really don't care what you think. I mean, I love you. But there ain't enough words in the English language to tell you how much I don't care. Because when I lay my head on the pillow tonight, I'm going to ask the Lord if I did a good job.
Yes.
And when he says, yeah. I'm going to say, they didn't much like what I said. He said, well, don't worry about it, son. They didn't like a lot of what I said either. Be like the guy that said, Jesus, they won't let me in that church to preach. He said, it's all right, son. They ain't let me in that church in the past 30 years. Glory. Can I pray for you? I've been drawn to you all night. Come here. Glory be to God. Jesus has some wonderful things for you. This set of meetings is going to be absolutely life-changing. Do not ever allow the devil to lie to you. That the window of time when you could have done wonderful things, great things, should have done this, should have done that, that any of those days are past. I see this in the spirit. There are times Satan beats you about the head and shoulders. And he bought into the world's idea that somehow chronologically, you know, you've lived a fairly long time. Listen, sweet, beautiful lady you are, I don't have a clue how old you might be chronologically, but what I do know, you are not near finished for God.
Amen.
So you get yourself ready. Because the power of God is going to revolutionize your life on a level you have never dreamed. He wants to elevate you to some things, some leadership roles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. I watch those eyebrows go up now. I'm not a mind reader. But I see there's a little screen for that word to come out. See, your mind's already working on why that can't be. No, walk by faith. I hear the Lord saying, I need you, daughter. I need you to get out of yourself and come on out here with me, said the Lord. I have some things I want to show you. I have some lives I want you to touch. It may seem simple to you, but do what I tell you to do. It'll come up in your heart. Say this to that one. Go over there and pray for this one. Send a card to that one. And I'm going to use you, said the Lord. I'm going to bring my body into fullness. And I'm going to do it by every joint supply. And you're one of my joints. Now I'm supposed to pray for you again. And the power of God is going to come on you in a mighty way. And you're going to see that this set of meetings for you is going to be revolutionary. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you have a right to everything the kingdom has. Glory be to God. Father, bless my sister now. In Jesus' name. Whoo, glory. Well, we've got several nights here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sure will, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. A blessing. I looked at you and the Lord said, I have a blessing for her. Praise the Lord. Yep. Right there. We're there. You know we are. You got your toes over the edge. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. I'm so glad God unwrapped you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love the Lord, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Next year, this year, best year you've ever had.
Yes. Say that again.
How about this? Come up a step into the things of God. Glory be to God. You'll see, this year, he's going to walk in a level of ministry
Amen.
That you've dreamed for him to walk in.
Amen.
I have stuff for you to do too, said the Lord, so things must come in order. Father, we love you tonight. If there'd be any person in the sound of my voice that's not right with you, I pray that your presence would convince them of their need for your love to enter their soul as a great Savior. I thank you that Jesus, that you're coming soon. And I thank you that no one has to leave like they came in Jesus' name. Somebody's left elbow was just healed. I believe it's somebody over in here. You got a problem in your arms or shoulders or elbows or something over here. You're being healed right now as we speak in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Who is it? Who is it? I want to pray for you. Come here, please. Come here, please. You're not the only one. There's someone else. There's more than one person over in this section right here. God's healing you in that part of your body. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. What's going on with it?
It's my shoulders and my neck and all down my arms.
How about we get rid of that tonight?
Yes. I'm ready for it.
Are you sure? Now! Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God.
Start the fire, God.
Thank you, Father. We can.
Somebody's got severe acid reflux to the point it's damaged your esophagus. That is being judged tonight by the power of the anointing in the name of Jesus, and it's coming off of you. The healing anointing in my hand right now is stronger than it's been all night long to deal with this. This is a creative miracle here. He's going to realign your esophagus and do a creative miracle. If that's you, if you have that issue, I want to pray for you. I mean now. You got to get up here now. Glory be to God. That's leaving you, John. It's leaving you, my brother. Leaving you in Jesus' name. Leaving you. Watch her. Watch her. Watch her. Oh, it's all over her now. Look at me. I said, now it's leaving you in Jesus' name. Glory. I said, it's leaving you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that this is a faith man. Now listen, whether you are stress-induced or whatever has caused you, whether you are hereditary or not, or whether it's eating the wrong type of food in the wrong situation, whatever needs to come in order, from tonight, this flesh comes in order. You bow your knee and I command restoration to come to your entire digestive tract to the glory of God. Yes, ma'am. You are the healed of the Lord from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Glory be to you too. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah, glory. Yeah, glory to God. Yeah, glory to God. So, Father, we bless you. Woo, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me help you up, sister. Hallelujah. Talk to me now. Woo. How's that feel?
That's good.
Woo, does it now?
Yes.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, then have a second dose. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you today.
Amen.
Say this out loud. 2014.
2014.
Will be the greatest year.
That I have ever had.
All you ministers, say this with me. 2014.
2014.
I'll have the greatest year.
I'll have the greatest year.
I've ever had.
In the ministry.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Now, I'll Pastor Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you after this, but I was a little bit after 7 o'clock headed out on New Year's Eve to our watch night service, and it was as if it were audible. And I was sitting in the back. I was in the green room. I was getting ready to walk out. Spirit of the Lord said to me, just I'm talking about emphatically. He said, this will be the greatest year you've ever had in the ministry.
Praise God.
Woo! Now, you said what?
Do what now?
What'd you just say?
I said, we receive it for you.
Say it again.
We receive it for you.
One more time.
We receive it for you.
Now, what I was about to say was, I knew instantly it was for us immediately. It was absolutely for every ministry gift associated to us. So I received it for you. Woo!
Amen.
Glory to God. Wow. What did I set on?
And I received it for you. And for you.
Yeah.
I received it for you. Because this will be the greatest year that you have ever had in the ministry. Do you understand me? It'll be the greatest year that you've ever had in the ministry. The greatest year that you have ever had in the ministry. Woo! Woo! Poof! Glory. It'll be the greatest year. Wow! That you've ever had in the ministry. Woo! It'll be the greatest year that you've ever had in the ministry. Those financial barriers you've been bumping up against to fulfill all God's told you to do, obliterated. They'll be obliterated this year. Father, thank you. Whew. Ah! Right, Reverend Tony Collins, you ain't seen anything yet. This will be the greatest year you and your wife have ever seen in the ministry. You have been incessantly in my heart and in Pastor Lori's heart. I'm telling you, oh, we hadn't seen anything yet. Father, thank you for creative miracles in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor, I'm going to lay hands on a couple more folks and I'm giving it to you. We got ourselves a time. What, we 7 o'clock tomorrow night? Remember this, saints. Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Sure I will. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Of course I will. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hey, 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 hey.
Praise God. There you go. Praise God.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
Give the Lord a hand clap if you'd stand to your feet, please. You know, sometimes like with Deborah, she wants to pray. Well, it just takes God, you know. It don't have to be certain lengthy prayers. It's just you need the power. And glory to God. There's plenty of power in the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, 7 o'clock right here tomorrow night. And then the train will pull out, headed to Houston. And from Houston to Calhoun City, then over to Eupora. So get a hold of the glory train. Amen. grab a hold of someone's hand. We are family. You know that. And we love each other. And the love of God is shown in our hearts and minds. And God's love has been so wonderful on us tonight. I just feel impressed to say, use these meetings as a starting point for your year. God's already spoken to us about a lot of things. And this month, He's going to pull some things together for you. But don't let this be just some mental exercise or a resolution. You make a commitment. You just let this be your beginning. And don't stress it out, pray it out. Just come to church. Put God first. Let your life change. Just get back to where, as we say, He didn't move, we do. And so glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Wow. God, give us understanding of what we've heard tonight from heaven. And all you're getting, get understanding. Thank you for the precious word that you gave us tonight from your throne, through your servant. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And we simply say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us the Word of God that will absolutely change everything for us and give us a clear path because of our enemies. In Jesus' name, dismiss us now. In the power of your Spirit, the knowledge of your Word, and let your love, Lord God, fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Thank you for coming. Come back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Bring somebody with you.